The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and the Lord be with you. On this particular Sunday, which was, I think, two Sundays before Christ the King Sunday, which marks the end of the long season after Pentecost, Pastor Rick Ashey preached a sermon he titled Kingdom Over Country, Christ Over Culture. And he asks this question: what difference does being a kingdom-minded follower of Jesus make in our daily lives? Well, it's the perfect teaching for a very busy and tumultuous week of American politics, and just exactly what we need to hear. So join Pastor Rick as he explores Psalm 146 and compares the resumes of powerful people to our King. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
This morning, by the way, Psalm 146, New Living Translation is what I'll be using, but Psalm 146 if you want to get there ahead. I was thinking about a compass.
Compass, magnets. Magnets can mess with a compass, right? And you can, if you fiddle with the magnets, you can get the needle to point different directions, kind of where we've been. I feel like, you know, some of us, the magnet's been pulling a little bit to the left, and some of us here lately, you know, the magnet's been pulling a little bit to the right. And it hasn't been pointing true north. Some of us just want to get rid of the compass. Like, can I please get off this crazy ride? You know, I don't know if any of you guys feel that way. Here's the thing this morning. What we're going to be taking a look at is going to point us true north. That's the whole point of gathering together here, is for us as followers of Jesus, there is a true north. And it is not dependent on politics or government, and it is not dependent on the cultural climate of the day. There is a true north for you and I as followers of Jesus. And so this morning, what we're going to do is, I just want to lean into this one more time. I want to share with you guys some powerful political statements. I want to share with you guys some powerful political lyrics from some of my favorite bands. And then I want us to look at some very powerful statements that God has provided to us about politics. And my hope is that as we exit out of here, we will be at least reoriented, if not maybe our hearts are kind of reset and refocused here as God's family. I titled this morning, Kingdom Over Country, Christ Over Culture. And I want to, I just want to start. One of my favorite bands, a Christian heavy metal band named Demon Hunter. They're fantastic. If you got anybody that likes metal music, Demon Hunter is amazing, been around forever. Here's some lyrics of theirs. It says, won't bow to man, won't bow to government, won't love a world where my God is mocked. I defy. Here's my first kind of power political statement of the morning. The political process, while necessary, has little to do with how God is saving the world. Amen? The political process, while necessary for us as a constitutional republic to function, has little to do with how God is actually going about saving and redeeming the world. Matthew 6, 9 through 10, this is Jesus. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. May your kingdom come soon. Here's another power statement. The expansion of the kingdom of God has little, if anything, to do with political contests. The expansion of the kingdom of God, both here in this country and around the world, has little, if anything, to do with political contest. They're an important part of our civic life, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the expansion of God's kingdom all over the world, they don't slow him down. They don't stop him. Luke 17, verses 20 through 21 says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. The kingdom of God is already among you. Reorienting our compass this morning. If you guys aren't familiar, we follow a lectionary, which is an established set of scriptures that have been predetermined. And so this morning's text was predetermined, I don't even know how long ago, but it's in a 3-year cycle. So, you know, however long ago, when somebody collected together and said, hey, on this Sunday, we're going to talk about this. I'm sorry, but on Monday, I was just like, okay, God, like, obviously, there's a couple of times out of the year where the text is so exactly what we need as a people, and I think this is one of them. I want you guys to listen to this. This is Psalm 146. I'm going to read it in New Living Translation, and then we're going to work kind of bit by bit, unpack it a little bit here together this morning. Check this out. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoner. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigner among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. Now listen to this statement. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout all generations. Praise the Lord. Wow. Like, I didn't pick that this morning, okay? That was established for us to hear this morning. So I just want to kind of move through this and pick apart a couple of different things. I want to point out some stuff to you guys here this morning. In these first two verses, if you take a look at this, Psalm 146, it says, praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. You'll also notice that praise the Lord is the end of this psalm, which is very classic of psalms to start and finish, kind of bookends. Here is the big idea. Here's the big statement is we are going to praise the Lord. The first and foremost thing that we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to do is praise the Lord. When? With everything that we are, all the time until the end. That's what we're called to do. So whether this week's been great for you, praise the Lord. Where this week's been challenging for you, praise the Lord. And I'm not even talking about the politics stuff. I'm just talking about the life, right? I'm just saying, if this has been a challenging week, you can praise the Lord through that. If this has been a great week for you, you can praise the Lord through that. We are called to, we are encouraged to, we are motivated by the ability for us to see things through God's lens, not the world's lens. We can respond to any and all circumstances in our lives with praise. Yes, it may take us a little bit of time to get there, but ultimately, our response to life is to praise the Lord. Whatever happens, whenever it happens, however it happens, everything, all the time, until the end. Oh, and then in eternity, guess what we get to do? Praise the Lord. It's pretty cool. Verse 3, it says this, don't. Not, hey, you might want to think about this, or I'd suggest you consider. The psalmist says, don't put your confidence, another word for that is faith, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and their plans die with them. It's just a reorienting moment for us. We've been really excited about candidates. We've been really excited about, you know, perspectives and plans and policies and all of these things. But we need to reorient to true north. We need to get back in line and refocus ourselves to Jesus. And within that, we need to recognize that no matter what, humans are humans. And all of us are failed and flawed. And all of us are, we have plans and we have all of these great things. And some plans are obviously, you know, better than other plans. We can look back through history and be like, yeah, that was a great idea. And that one wasn't a great idea. Like, we can have those debates and discussions. But what the psalmist is trying to tell us here, and he's going to juxtapose this idea of, you have a choice to make. You can put your faith in God, or you can put your faith in powerful people. And he says, oh, and by the way, they're going to die. Their plans are going to go with them. There is no help there for you. So if you want to do that, you are warned. Another band, this is another Christian heavy metal band called Impending Doom, which sounds really grim, except that if you understand who they are, it's the impending doom of sin and death and evil through the work of Jesus Christ. They say this, everything's fake in this day and age. When there is no faith, whom do you trust? They're asking a legit question. What do you and I put our ultimate hope and faith in this world, in this time? Another band, Wolves at the Gate. This one really hit me. It said, we are bowing to crowns made of gold, blind to the one made of thorns. So the psalmist warns us about powerful people. The psalmist warns us about humans and physical plans and all of these kinds of things. And then in verse 5, he says this, but, transition, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Now watch this, because he goes, okay, let's have a resume battle. Here's the resume of the powerful people. Now here's God's resume. You choose. Verse 6, he, God, made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. That's past. He keeps every promise forever. That's the future. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. That's the present. So he's telling us, look, each of us can put our trust into something. We can put it somewhere. And he's saying, if you want to put it over here with humans, just be ready to be disappointed. But he's saying, because they're temporal, he's saying, oh, but God over here, let's just talk about past, present, and future. Let's just be honest about who God actually is. He does these things. He's established these things. Another band, here's some more lyrics for you. This is from a band called Sleeping Giant. Kings, crowns, thrones, bow down. Fall face down, bow down, kiss the ground, bow down. Jesus, you hold the crown, we bow down. You hear the difference? The first one is, no, you don't understand. Humanity opposed to God is going to every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That is not an option. But that last one, we bow down. We are choosing. We're putting our trust and our hope and our faith in Jesus. That is our calling as Christians, as followers of Christ here. Now check this out. Verse 8. The Lord frees the prisoners. Because as if past, present, and future weren't enough of a resume, check this out. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who were weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigner among us. He cares for the orphan and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. I was thinking about this morning, and as I was preparing this week, where do you need to experience the Lord's freedom? Where have you been feeling like a prisoner? How do you need the Lord to open your eyes? That's a hard one to answer, because oftentimes if we're blind to something, we don't see it. But maybe we've been closing our eyes intentionally to something, and we really need the Lord to open our eyes. You feeling weighed down lately? The Lord, he'll lift you up if you ask. The Lord loves the godly. Need a sense of his love in your life? Just take a recounting of where you're at. The Lord protects, especially the foreigners among us, and he cares for orphans and widows, because they're the most vulnerable. But he protects you and I too. Maybe some of us have been feeling a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. or just not safe. The Lord is the one who protects us. And then we come to verse 10. So he's worked through, and he's encouraged us to start out by praising the Lord. Our focus should be all the time, everything that we are, until our last dying breath, praise the Lord. Keep our attention there. And then he lays out the resumes of powerful humans versus the God of all creation. And then he says this in verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. And he concludes by reminding us to praise the Lord. Here's another quote for you. This election will not increase or decrease God's ability to be king. It just won't. It's not going to increase or decrease his ability to be king. King of your life or king of all of creation, which we've been singing about this morning. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. The bottom line for politics is power. The bottom line for Christians is Jesus. We live in a broken and dying world, and for a lot of people, their only hope is in politics and the power that may or may not come with that. But the hope that we have and the hope that we have to extend, live, speak to this world is the hope in Jesus Christ. Because these other things aren't going to last. They're not going to satisfy. They're not going to heal. They're not going to fix. Not the way that Jesus can. That's what we have to do. We have to reorient, go back to true north. I heard a pastor say this week, and I was like, wow. To dismember the body of Christ over politics is a grievous sin. John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The way that you and I love and care for and respect and honor and lift up and encourage and support and build and protect and extend grace and mercy and forgiveness and share joy and hope and peace together, the way that we do those things, that's what the world's going to see. That's how the world's going to know that we follow Jesus. It's kingdom over country. It's Christ over culture. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father God, this morning, we are called to worship and honor and focus our lives on you. And we are called to care and love and minister to one another, with one another, and for one another. And God, I thank you that you are God, and that you are King, and that you are sovereign. And that if we put our hope in you and what you are about and what your kingdom is about, we will never be disappointed. We will never be let down. Yes, Lord, we know this, called to be active in the world around us, but not to allow powerful people or politics or perspectives or policies or opinions to overshadow you and your desire to bring about your kingdom in this world, your hope, your story of salvation. And we thank you for everything that you have done for us. You've never let us down. We hope and trust in you. We look forward, Lord, to how you're going to continue to work in and amongst us this morning and through this week for the next couple of months as we demonstrate what it truly means to be fully alive in you as followers of Jesus. Help us to be a good and honorable testimony of all that you have done and all that you are doing in and amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.